We're unabashedly obsessed. We've got to get it off our chest. Please sit there and be quiet.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Unabashedly Obsessed. I'm James.
I'm Erin.
On our show, we like to talk about things related to pop culture.
And not so pop culture.
This week, we're talking about something like as pop culture. I would say as pop culture as you can get in terms of like influence and...
I guess.
I mean, like Shakespeare.
Yeah, but I feel like this particular one, though, isn't particularly... I'm just going to keep using that word. Influential.
I mean, I think that, like...
I mean, it's not Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, not, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's not Hamlet. Like,
I see what you're saying.
I can't think of other... I can't think of anything that's been, like, you know, Much Ado, but with...
But, like, we were saying while we were watching the movie, like, I feel like Three's Company and sort of sitcoms take a lot of stuff from this kind of plot.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I feel like this is the most famous of the... this kind of plots.
That's true. With the, you know, there's the bad guy who does this thing that's bad, but ultimately it's not like particularly villainous.
Yeah.
Like, he tells a lie.
Yeah. I think...
And now, hijinks ensue.
Is he... This is getting to the direct end of it. Is he doing all of this to escape?
You know, that's one that I honestly, it's been so long since I've read Much Ado, I can't remember exactly what Don John's motivation was.
Because I know that he's a villain, so he's just trying to Joker it up and watch the whole world burn. But like,
right.
He was talking to Conrad before, you know, he started getting in her pants.
Right.
About like not wanting to be under surveillance and wanting to be his own guy and like be free and stuff. And then he... was like, oh yeah, look, Hero, she's a big hussy. Welp, I'm out of here.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when we did this play,
yeah.
I didn't completely understand John's motivation.
Yeah.
I kind of just assumed I've always just kind of assumed that he just wanted to
like, mess up something.
Watch shit burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he escapes at the end because he's like, oh, they've caught on. I should not be here.
Yeah.
But in this one, he enters, like he gets out of the car handcuffed.
Zip tied. Yeah.
But like he's clearly, in this version at least,
supposed to be under like house arrest.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about 2013's Much Ado About Nothing, directed by 2012. Directed by Joss Whedon.
Yes.
Who, if we want to just touch on real quick, we know Joss Whedon's become problematic. I Googled to confirm exactly what the issue was. He, like, has cheated on his wife a bajillion times with various actresses.
Okay.
And there's been some talk of him doing all of these, like, feministy casting strong, like, writing and casting strong women type things just so he has more women to cheat with. I think there's probably been, my guess would be that there's been a lot of, you know, hey, I'll give you this part if.
Right. Now that is problematic. I feel like cheating on your wife, though not great and not, you know, there are problems with it, but I think that it's unethical and sort of a...
It's between them.
Yeah.
It's not a thing that the world at large needs to get involved in.
If you are... trading favors for casting and stuff. That's where it gets.
And I'm guessing that's what was happening. I didn't Google hard. I was like, oh, right. Cheated on his wife. Right. With a bunch of actresses.
Although I suppose if it's consensual.
Yeah. But like, this is that type of power struggle.
No, that's true. It's
still,
a power struggle.
That you still run it. I mean, you run into even with, you know, consenting adults who are
a college professor
and a college student. There's...
It's a power thing.
One of them is in a position of power.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. That's exactly right. Yep.
So, yeah.
This was... What you've just witnessed was James forgetting what it was and then remembering what it was.
Right.
Cool. Yes. Position of power. Doesn't matter if they're consenting. because he shouldn't be wielding that power over them.
Doesn't matter that they're consenting.
That they're consenting. I said if.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it does matter if they're consenting.
It's a regardless.
It's a whole other thing if right. they're not. But that they're consenting is irrelevant because of the position of power. Right.
Okay. Right.
Yes. Cool. Yes. Good. That aside, I think that he does bring out good performances in people. And uh-huh. I think he has people in his group, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Like the sort of the Joss regulars mm-hmm. are all very talented people. And right. there's a funniness to them that I think is still like we just witnessed in this movie, despite problematic personal stuff going on.
Right.
I think that I really enjoyed this.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and I think that he's a good director.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he makes good choices.
Yeah.
You know, his vision works.
Yeah.
Or at least is translated to the screen well. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not really looking at this as a Joss Whedon production as much as I'm looking at this as, hey, it's another version of Much Ado. That right. wasn't really highly publicized.
I think the only publication I saw about this at all was on Twitter.
Yeah, everything I saw was online. I think I saw some stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of IMDb research.
Okay.
This was filmed over the course of less than 2 weeks. Very little rehearsal.
Yeah.
At his house. Like, the set was his house.
Yeah.
The party scene, the masquerade scene, was an actual party that he and his wife threw. Like, so, like, there was real alcohol and everything. Like, those were not extras or actors. Those were, like, people that they invited to their party to be the extras in the party scene.
Yeah.
And then the main cast, you know, wasn't drinking. But, yeah, they were like, hey, we're throwing this, or we're filming this movie, and we need a party scene, so come be extras.
Sean Mars here. Sean, hey! Is he mad about something?
He was an excellent Don John.
He was. He was very good.
Overall, the casting of this was very good.
Let's do something that I don't normally do.
Okay.
Who was the worst cast?
I mean, Leonardo was kind of... He was there.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad.
No.
He just wasn't particularly exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that everyone... I would say that probably everyone... Baraccio was okay.
Yeah.
I would have liked... And maybe I don't know, he seemed so young.
I know, he looked like such a baby.
He looked like, you know, he reminded me of, do you ever see Bad News Bears, like the 70s movie?
No.
One of the main thrusts of that movie is there's this bad boy, and he's like, he has a motorcycle, and like, he's this guy, but he's also a great baseballer.
Uh-huh.
Some sort of hitter. Let's say he's a good hitter.
Okay.
So they want him on the team and whatever, so they have to, like, convince him. But he's like, this, like, bad boy or whatever.
Right.
He reminded me of that kid. Like, he had sort of, like kind of David Cassidy hair and, yeah. like... Oh, by the way, all of this was in black and white.
What was the point of that?
I don't know. I think that maybe it was, like, because black and white film isn't cheaper.
No.
Is it?
Apparently, he wanted to film it with, like, Steadicams, but due to time and budget, he wasn't able to do that.
It was supposed to be, like, it was set in modern day. Everyone had cell phones and stuff. I don't know. Stylistic
choice? Yeah, they did that thing that I absolutely hate in modernized Shakespeare, where they did it in a Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah.
With, you know, like, Benedict, like, moves his jacket aside to show his gun in the holster and says something about, it's here in my scabbard.
Yeah.
It's called a holster, you fucking idiot.
Now, okay.
I hate when they, like, just update that one word.
And actually, scabbard and holster would work for the meter, too, so.
Yeah.
Now, I might be a big Romeo plus Juliet apologist.
I know you are.
I found it lovely when like along the gun was etched like dagger.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm cheesy as hell.
I will say, I'm glad that they did that, because at least then, like, it's cheesy, but at least they made it make sense.
Like, my gun's name is Dagger. Like,
oh, see, I was thinking more like it was like the Dagger brand of gun.
Oh, yeah, no, that's better.
Either way, yeah. They make it, you know, they
when
they
I
did
say my
to
dagger,
make,
yeah.
They did something to make it make sense. Yeah. It still bothers me
yeah.
that they did it. But
would you now you wouldn't prefer that they have sword? You prefer they update the words.
I prefer that they update the words.
Because I mean, actually, sword, gun, scabbard, holster. Yeah, I mean, like it works from a language point of view. Yeah. So
I mean, if they need it to rhyme, is the only time
pistol,
it might not.
Pistol, dagger. But, yeah. I mean, you got.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish they'd done that, but other than that,
yeah.
I had no issues with the. Other than that, and the fact that so the plot of Much Ado About Nothing, the entire thing hinges upon whether or not Hiro's a virgin.
Ugh.
Gross. And how she's ruined if she's not a virgin.
There's a very, wedding as a business transaction
yes.
motif to it.
And it doesn't work as well when it's modernized. Because right. there's no, in today's society, there's not, I realize that I'm generalizing here, but there is not nearly as much, you know, you are a whore and a ruined woman and nobody will ever want you if you are a 24-year-old woman who has had sex.
And okay. And this, I talked to you about this when we paused the movie so I could say this. If Claudio's mad that she cheated on him before the night before their wedding.
Oh, sure.
And he says mean things to her.
Right.
Makes total sense. What I always thought was really cool with the plan that Don John executed, that Baraccio actually came up with.
Right.
Was that they got the prince to see it too.
Mm-hmm.
They got Don Pedro to see it too.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, Claudio's just this wet behind the ears kid, but the prince saw it too.
Right.
And I've always really liked that as an an extra added evil thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if Claudio's pissed because he just saw his fiance, who's going to get married the next day, sleeping with someone from, you know, 1,000 yards out or whatever.
Right. Saw a silhouette of a woman who might be his fiance.
Yeah. But, and so, okay. So if Claudio says mean things, that makes sense.
Right.
If the prince is like, yeah, dude, what's up? That makes sense.
Right.
It's that Leonardo's like, bah, my one daughter that I had that was going to get me my retirement is now ruined. Now what am I going to do? I wish you were dead.
Right. Well, and even, I mean, a lot of the things that Claudio said were specifically like, you told me you were a virgin.
Right.
You're clearly not, you whore.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I can understand him being like, we're supposed to get married today. And yeah. last night, I saw you with another dude.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
As you said. But it's the fact that he keeps bringing virginity into it.
Right.
It's just gross. And right. I realize that it's a product of the time it was written in and so forth. And that's another reason why I don't think it updates particularly well.
Agreed.
And one of the reasons why I really love the Kenneth Branagh version, because it was a period piece.
Right.
Of right. an indeterminate period, but still. Right. Like, it was clearly...
The shirts were very fluffy.
The dresses were perhaps not as ornate. It wasn't necessarily Elizabethan.
Yeah.
It was just generic Italian countryside of an indeterminate time.
Right. Can I ask a clarifying question?
Uh-huh.
So, these guys.
Uh-huh.
Don Pedro et al.
Sure.
They're soldiers who've just come back from a war.
Uh-huh.
As the messenger reads on his phone.
Yep.
That they didn't have a lot of deaths, and or at least no one by name. And Leonardo's like, cool, no one famous died. That's a good war.
Right.
So then they're just like, ooh, cool, a place to rest. Hey, dude, can we stay at your villa for a sec so we can gas up our cars? Like... Why? Did they know Leonardo? Is that their town?
They must have known Leonardo because Benedict and Beatrice
know each other.
Know
right.
each other.
And
Hiro knows Benedict.
Right. And Claudio has Claudio met Hiro before?
I think he must have, right?
I guess so. So, okay, so they're there, but they're, so, but then they, so then did Don John, like, try and, what was it treason? Was he, like, fighting for the other side, and then he, because like I feel like the plots don't make, like, they're back from a war, and also Don John is in cuffs because he tried to desert.
Maybe.
Yeah, I wish. So I wish. I don't know if I ever finished this point. I wish Baraccio was older.
Yeah.
just because the dude, oh yeah, because he looks like a Little League player.
Yeah.
I wish that he was more, like, it didn't make sense why he was there.
I wanted him, so I really liked how they gender flipped Conrad.
Yeah, that was really cool. And Ricky Lindholm was great.
She was great. And I liked the obvious sexual relationship between her and Don John.
Right.
I felt like Baraccio didn't know why he was there either.
Yeah.
He needed to have either been completely clueless and almost bumbling.
Yeah.
In, like, walking into the room and her, like, covering up and stuff. Or he needed to have known exact, and I would have preferred this because he was the mastermind behind the plan.
Yeah.
He needed to know exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
And almost be like trying to intentionally cockblock.
Yeah. That would have been good too.
I felt like the actor who played him did fine.
He executed it perfectly. It was fine.
I just would have liked a little more.
Wouldn't have minded, if you're going to gender flip Conrad, I wouldn't have minded a triangle where they're both in love with Don John. That would have been interesting.
Yes.
And like he's trying to impress Don John with his way of, Don John's like, if only there was some way of screwing over just absolutely everyone. And Bracha's like,
I got it. Yeah.
And if there was more of like a rivalry between Conrad and Don and Baraccio,
yeah,
for the affection of Don John, I think that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
What I liked about this especially, and maybe it's just that I haven't heard, maybe if I had just seen a play of the appropriate period, I would have gotten it too. A lot of the lines really hit home a lot better than they did the last time I heard them.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the cleverness of, and maybe, and I forgot that Dogberry's whole thing is that he says the wrong words.
Yeah.
And I really, that's my bread and butter. Like, yeah. I love that. Like, wait, what did he just say? That makes no, oh, he thinks that he's saying that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I really like that a lot. But like, some of the stuff of Beatrice and Benedict was a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. And like, the timing of like Benedict being like, idiot getting married. Hey, she likes you. Oh, I'm going to get married.
Yeah.
Was really funny. And like, I think super intentional. I think that like they played the timing the way that they should have.
Right.
And like when that one point where he was like, all right, everyone just calm down. No one talk anymore about Beatrice. God, I'm so sick of talking about Beatrice. Sips coffee. And another thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The timing in it was really good. Nathan Fillion as Dogberry.
Yeah.
When they first announced this,
yeah,
and I just saw the names of cast members,
yeah,
not attached to characters, I assumed he was going to be Benedict.
I can see it.
And I think he would be a very good Benedict, but he was an excellent Dogberry.
Yeah.
I vastly preferred him to Michael Keaton. I like Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton did a great job as Dogberry, but I prefer, and it's my style of humor. I prefer the drier, mm-hmm, I don't know, I'm being ridiculous.
Than drunk.
Rather than just drunk and over the top.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I thought Michael Keaton did a great job with the choice that he'd made or that made. Like, I think that he played drunk and slurring his words and not saying the right words because he's so drunk.
Right.
He did great. I loved way more. And there's something more subversive about the...
It's funnier and... more intelligent.
Just being, yeah.
To play it as deliberately dumb.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that there's something, I got like a class thing, like from Dogberry and Verges being idiots and like the actual, mm-hmm, watch being the people that actually did the work of the solving of the play, basically.
Right.
And like how they had to enlist all the maids and everyone. Like, that, all of these lower class citizens, like the servants and whatever,
right,
were the actual cogs of basically every single thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to talk to Margaret, and Margaret was crucial in the evil plot. And
right.
And everyone, like, there's something to that, I think, intentional on Shakespeare's side. Because, right, like, there would have been way more important for, like, the head of the household, the prince, is tricked.
Right.
And through the incompetence of the law enforcement, which is already sort of a like whoa thing to do,
right?
The trick is figured out. But like the prince doesn't get it, the count doesn't get it, the head of the household doesn't get it. It's these servants basically,
right,
that get it.
Servants of the law. Yeah.
I don't know. I really liked how they timed it and how they didn't. I don't know. I think the pacing was really good and the lines they cut were really good to have cut, and they
I think that the pacing, I felt like it was a little slow.
Okay.
I mean, it was a long movie.
No, that's true.
And I don't, it's been a long time even since I've seen the Kenneth Branagh version. I don't know. I can't imagine that Kenneth Branagh cut a substantial amount.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, given that he didn't cut anything from Hamlet, I can't imagine he would have cut stuff from Much Ado. But I felt like the Branagh one moved faster than this one did.
And it was 5 minutes longer.
The Branagh one was?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Although I think the entire runtime includes
credits and such.
Mm. And that may have been, there was a whole bunch of stuff at the beginning, like a bunch of lead-in at the beginning of the Branagh one where they're just like frolicking through the field and taking baths and stuff.
Slow horses and like singing and.
But then once it got started, I felt like it picked up very well. Speaking of the beginning.
Yeah.
In this this one opens with Benedict and Beatrice having just slept together, and he sneaks out not realizing she's awake.
Right.
And so it sets up the whole why does Beatrice, quote unquote, hate him so much.
Right.
But it doesn't explain why he, quote unquote, hates her so much.
Right.
It doesn't.
I didn't
at the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, I can appreciate this. But the more the movie went on, I was like, no, them having slept together previously doesn't actually make sense.
Yeah, I agree. It, like, because what they're doing is basically, if you'll forgive me, like fucking each other with their wits.
Oh, yeah, it's verbal foreplay. Absolutely.
So them already having done the actual foreplay and fucking doesn't, it seems unrealistic based on humans. I don't think that you would be like, oh, here's this repartee or whatever. You wouldn't be like that. You'd be like a one night stand that was preceded by like witty banter and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The witty banter is super awkward. Like the next time you see them, like if you run into them again, have like witty banter, one night stand.
Right.
A month goes by and you come back. You're not going to just pick up with the witty banter again.
Right.
And unless, now if he'd come and been like, hey, here's some witty banter, so can we go off to your room again? That would have made a little more sense. But I feel like the fact that it was just like, I don't even like you, you're dumb, blah, blah, blah. Like, they didn't act like it, like anything had already happened between them.
Right. And, I mean, you know, going back to the whole, you know, virgin whore thing.
Yeah.
Canonically, they haven't slept together because in that era, she just would not have done that.
And right, and actually, the fact that Margaret and all the servants do is another class thing.
Right.
Like, of course, they're going to be doing, they're heathens anyway. So.
Right. Whereas in an updated version, like, nobody cares if Benedict and Beatrice have slept together. Like, her virtue is not a thing that anybody is concerned with.
Right.
Even canonically, nobody cares. Like, nobody talks about whether or not Beatrice is a virgin.
I mean, I think it's implied in the, like, look, anyone who is such and such is too much man, you know, is whatever. Like, I'm good with no men. No man is good for me.
It's definitely implied, but it's not.
It's not a plot point.
Yeah, it's not a plot point at all. Whereas if Benedict and Beatrice have already slept together, not only does, as you said, their witty banter no longer make sense.
Yeah.
If she is annoyed with him because he left while she was Well, he thought she was asleep.
Yeah.
And so they didn't get any, like, she got no closure. So if she's annoyed with him about that, doesn't want anyone to realize they've slept together because she's embarrassed that he left the way he did. So she tries to maintain the same scathing banter
yeah.
that they've always had. That makes sense.
Sure.
For him to join in on it, though,
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
Right. Unless he walked up to her and was like, hey, girl. And she was like, hey, here's some witty banter. I'm this guy. You're dumb. Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and he's like, oh, is that what we're doing now? Okay, I guess I can, like, maybe like it's like a pride thing. Like, right. I guess we're acting like it didn't happen. Fine. I can fence but it, with you.
It didn't read that way, though.
Yeah.
Because they see each other before the masquerade.
Right.
Right?
Right. Because it's the, like, they roll up and she's like, oh, so look, it's, remember, because it's something about like, oh, look, it's Lady Disdain. And she's right. like, yeah, Disdain is right because you suck.
Right.
Shakespeare writes it better, but that's pretty much what she says.
Yeah.
And he's like, I suck, you suck. And she's like, nuh-uh, it's all
like
iambic.
Like you said, Shakespeare writes it better. Yeah, because
you are one of those.
If she hadn't seen him yet and she's bitching about him at the party while he's standing right there in costume and she doesn't know it's him, then him doubling back and being like, oh, so this is how we're playing this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I guess I too shall play this game.
But she knows it's him.
She knows it's him.
She knows that he's the guy in the
pillowcase.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like wearing a pillow. I mean, I guess it was supposed to look like some kind of headscarf.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a combination turban and when cowboys tie a bandana
uh-huh.
around their faces to keep the dust out.
Uh-huh.
But it basically looked like he cut a big hole in a pillowcase and like tucked the raw edges under so that just his eyes were visible.
Yeah, it's like if my daughter wanted to make like a sultan's hat or something.
Yeah.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah. It was not a good costume.
No, it was not.
It was a bad costume. Now, admittedly, he did just come back from war and probably didn't have a whole lot of time in Pinterest.
Right. And so it I think a lot of the stuff where it was like okay, so when what I love about this play, here's what I love about this play.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much of like, oh, he thinks they don't know and they know that he thinks that they like all yeah. this like back and forth. I like that stuff a lot. Farcical? Is that like a farce?
Yeah.
Cool.
One version.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I thought was really good was how Claudio the prince and Leonardo are talking. Oh, oops, we're having this conversation right in front of where we know Benedict is.
Right.
How Claudio's like, yeah, I know. She's so in love with him. Oh my God, she's going to die. And like the prince and Leonardo are like, dude, calm down.
You're overselling it. I really loved this nerdy Claudio.
It's an interesting choice.
It was a really interesting take because every other time I've seen it done, it's been very much like the Robert Sean Leonard version.
Yeah.
Of just, you know, oh, I am this quiet, well-mannered, you know.
Yeah.
The kind of boy that you want to take home to meet the folks.
Yeah.
And I love you so much. You are very pretty. I am shy.
But I'm happy because the prince let me be in the play. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up things.
Right. But, yeah. And this one, he was so nerdy and earnest, but in a way that came across like kind of irritating.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah. He was the rookie of the squad.
Right.
Like you could see that like Benedict was like roughhousing with him and like it was like this guy you can pick on. He's a good guy, but he does need some like ass beating. Like
yeah. Like you know, if he hadn't been a nobleman, they probably would have called him rookie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, here's a question.
Sure.
How do you modernize Much Ado About Nothing?
See, you've got to take out all the stuff about Hero being a virgin and
True.
Make it just be about, I saw you cheating on me the night before our wedding.
Yeah.
You have to, honestly, I think not have Benedict and Beatrice having slept together ahead of
time. No, absolutely. That was a... That was supposed
that was
to be,
a that was a real miss for me.
What did they called it the sexy and contemporary version. I think that was supposed to be like, ooh, we're starting with crumpled clothes on the floor. How sexy and contemporary. Like,
well, and so it starts out with like, you see Benedict putting, I guess, his underwear on. Like, you see his feet stepping into something, and you can see his pants crumpled in the foreground with her bra on top.
Right.
And so that's the first shot you see, and you were like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, this, I mean, I guess?
Yeah.
Where are we going with this, Joss?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That one doesn't work.
I think that this could modernize with social media.
Yep. I can see that.
Throw in a bunch, especially if they are all, like, I mean, you know, they're all noblemen and, like, if they're all, like, minor, like, celebutants.
Okay.
Then, you know, oh no, somebody.
What if they're businessmen? What if they've just come back from overseas from, like, a business trip?
Sure.
Because then.
Take out the war stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody important died anyway, so it doesn't have to be a war.
You know, it'd be cool if Benedict is like, it's right here and it's in its scabbard, and he opens his coat and his fountain pen.
Pocket protector.
Yeah, and like he has a pen there, because like he's gonna sue his ass.
Yeah.
Like, so they're back from the war of business
right.
war. And so that means that way you can have Leonardo.
And Leonardo owns a hotel.
Still cares about the prince not going away without whatever.
Right.
And it's more like, we want to make good with these people.
Yeah. Leonardo.
Hira, what are you doing?
Yeah. Leonardo owns a hotel.
Yeah.
He's maybe trying to accomplish some kind of business deal.
Yeah.
With them.
Yeah. He's a busy businessman who only cares about business.
Right. And
they're so they're staying at the hotel.
Right.
And the prince is like, yeah, I might buy this hotel. Or, well, maybe we'll do business in the future or whatever. Right. Maybe he owns Prince Tennis Company, the Prince Tennis Rackets.
Okay.
No, that's too far.
Is that too far?
I think so.
That's where we're going to draw the line here?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, let's not bring tennis. All right. So, so their business, they're not buying Leonardo's hotel, but like, something about her cheating on Claudio sours the deal in some way. So the prince is like, is this how you do business? Like,
yeah, I would have to I need to understand. My fan fiction loving heart is loving this conversation.
Yeah.
I need to understand more about how business works.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, yeah, sure.
For me,
yeah. Absolutely.
For me to be able to figure out specifically what the issue is, but I mean, like you said, there's some kind of business deal that needs to happen,
because I think
you know what, maybe they're not back from, maybe they're from overseas,
yeah,
and we're trying to, Leonardo's trying to get them to open an international, like, Leonardo's Italy,
right?
And so there's some kind of, like, he, or maybe they're just like from another state or something. He's trying to, somebody's yelling at us right now. They're like, I know business.
Right.
I can fix your problem.
Because Leonardo is pissed that Hira has done this, or
right,
has quote unquote done this.
Right.
And he's like, get out of my sight. You're fired.
See, I think, when you say, how do we modernize this? Are you thinking with keeping basically the same script?
Keeping the same script as close,
okay,
like cutting
because
bear related
lines.
What
I want to do is cut out the part where Leonardo's like, you've destroyed everything, I wish you were dead, to his daughter who has just been jilted at the altar.
Right.
I would cut that. I would basically just take the bare bones of the story.
Leonardo never got no one ever was like, hey, Leonardo, remember those dick things you said to Hira when you believed it too?
Yeah.
Because he's all like, hey, Prince, and hey, Claudio, you believed it? Now you're assholes and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
No one's like, hey, Leonardo, you're a dick too.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
So you'd 10 things I hate about you it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense. I think it'd be very interesting to literally 10 things I hate about you it and make it and put it in a high school. I think that'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, like the prince is the captain of the football team and all, like
Leonardo stuff. Would have to be like Hiro's big brother.
Right.
Instead of her dad.
Right.
But yeah.
And like you could, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you could do with like Don. I mean, Don John would be a drama kid.
Probably. Yeah. or like, you know, the slacker kid, like right. the.
Kind of want to write that. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Same. Hmm. The entire time we've been having this conversation, I've been writing in my head.
I've been writing on this computer.
Pay no attention to the clacking behind the curtain.
Okay. All right. So it is possible. I think you're right. I think you have to get rid of Leonardo being pissed. That, I think, is the crucial point where I was like, this is gross.
Right.
The other thing I was thinking during this whole thing is a modern day Beatrice would be like, what the fuck did you just say, old man?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me with this crap?
Right.
Get the fuck out of here. Her virtue? Are you kidding? Like, she would lay into him
with an iron tongue.
Like,
she would put Hiro in her car and they would drive off for a spa weekend.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would.
And the rest of the play would not happen.
Right. Because Beatrice
until
be like,
they came back from the spa weekend.
Right.
But
refreshed. And to be honest, like, kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, what were we even fighting about? Oh, right. You called me a whore.
Right.
Dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I really like this movie.
I think I'm glad I watched it.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's just because I saw the Kenneth Branagh version at such a formative, like I saw it as a teenager.
Yes.
And then I played Beatrice.
Yes.
And it's been many years since then, and now I'm watching this again. Like, I've always loved Much Ado, even before I had seen that movie. Like, it's always been one of my favorite Shakespeare plays.
Okay.
I think I still prefer the Branagh version. I think that a lot of things worked better in the Branagh version, for me personally.
Okay.
But there was a lot to love in this. There was a lot of really good physical comedy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, like, everything about Dogberry and Verges, I vastly preferred in this.
Agreed.
Like, if I could only watch one of these two versions of this play, of this movie ever again, it would be the Branagh version.
Sure, okay.
But I would do that having already seen this one and being very glad that I did.
Right.
If that makes sense.
That does make sense. I think that I really like this. I'm really glad that I got it for free from the library.
Yeah. Was it ever in theaters?
I don't know.
I think it was maybe in select theaters.
That makes sense.
Because I would have gone to see it.
Yeah. I guess it always sort of bugged me, like, that Denzel and Keanu were supposed to be brothers. Because, like, I feel like that adds a bunch of, like, wait, why? Like, wait, what's going on? Like, I thought Denzel was a great prince, and I thought he was excellent.
Yeah. I really liked him as the prince.
But, like, there's not, like, and I'm not saying, like, whatever, but like, there's not another black actor you could get so that makes sense.
Right.
There's literally no other black actor you could cast to be the brother of the only black guy in the cast.
Was Idris Elba busy?
Right.
Because he would have been a great Don John.
This was 96. I don't know that he was active.
I don't care.
I mean, like, I feel like even like a Wesley Snipes. I mean, there were surely
other black
more
men
than
in Hollywood.
One dude. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean,
was this like peak Keanu time? Were they capitalizing on like Speed or Bill and Ted's or anything?
No, 96 would have been. Let me 93. Who? Wow, 93. Is this the first thing that Keanu did?
It can't have been.
When was?
How old is Idris Elba? Is he like?
I think he might be younger than you think, yeah. Bill and Ted was 98 to 91. Point Break was 91. Speed was 94. So this was pre-Speed.
Okay.
Post-Bill and Ted. So this was...
When was Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was 91.
Okay. So it wasn't capitalizing on that because it came 2 years later. Idris Elba was born in 72.
So he was
almost exactly 10 years older than me.
He would have been 21.
Yeah.
Although, hold on. Keanu was born in 64. So Keanu is 8 years older than Idris Elba.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but like, honestly, guys, come on. Let's
find another black man.
Right. There's surely another dude in 1993 making movies that you can cast that can be the bad guy. Like,
I love that we don't even consider the possibility of recasting Don Pedro to look more like Keanu Reeves. Denzel is clearly the better choice.
I tend to keep Denzel in the cast at any opportunity.
Denzel's so good. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Denzel is playing, we're going with either Dame Maggie Smith or Denzel as the head mother of Sister Act. Can I have the weekend?
Yeah. Exactly.
He's great in, I don't think I've seen him not be great in something. Yeah. So, anyways.
You know, I wonder if part of the reason that we never really understood Don John's motivations is because, is because I never found Keanu particularly interesting.
Okay.
And so I kind of zone out whenever they are discussing the origin story of Don John.
Also, his name is Don John, and that's always just really troublesome.
Exactly. Don John the Bastard.
Yeah.
He's a porta potty, and he's a bastard.
Yeah.
And when you're in high school, porta potties are funny.
Yeah.
And bastard is kind of a bad word.
Yeah. So, has the word bad in it.
I mean, if you rearrange some letters, sure.
You don't have to rearrange them. Just take out some.
Well, okay, fine.
Take out the star, and you got bad.
That's true.
That's pretty cool.
But, like, I wonder if there had, like, if they had cast somebody more compelling to me.
Yeah.
As Don John, I wonder if I would have paid a little more attention and maybe read a little harder. I also, like, I've read the play multiple times, but I always kind of skim through the Don John backstory. Mm-hmm. And
is there Don John backstory?
I mean, not really, but I'm sure that there's something in there to give us some idea of why he's such a quote-unquote villain.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not. I don't know.
If we 10 things I hate about you this, I'd want to redeem him at the end.
I wouldn't have him. Oh, well, I don't know. You could still have him run away.
Spoiler, any villain I write
is going to get redeemed.
I'm going to have to be like forcibly led away from the redemption of the villain on anything I ever write.
Would you need to redeem Baraccio and Conrad, or is them coming out and saying, yeah, so we super lied? Is that their redemption?
Yeah, I actually really like the way the guy played this in the Joss movie. Because the Baraccio played because he was like, shit, she died? She died?
That's another thing that I would change, though, because it doesn't make any sense that she was so upset that she just died. This was written in a time when it was assumed that women could die from being upset.
Claudio said he didn't want to marry her, so she died. What good is she?
What you would have to do is
she moved.
I was going to say she was so upset that she killed herself.
Right.
You can still have her die. It just can't be, like, she has to have some agency in it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I
wouldn't want to go there.
Is there a way? I would almost want to have a commentator, like that photographer that it kept seeming like there was going to be something with her, but then there wasn't.
But then there never was.
Where she, like, I would almost be like, does it seem like we're tricking people too much in, like, these days?
Yeah.
Like, there were so many, like, the solution to literally every problem, good or bad, was let's trick them.
Right.
It should have been much ado about tricks.
Tricks about nothing?
Yeah. Tricks are for kids.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
Could you just have Hero transfer schools? I feel like...
Yeah.
Oh, she was so mad that you refused to be prom king next to her that...
Now she won't go to prom
You broke up with her in front of the whole school, so she transferred? I don't feel like that's as believable as...
Is it problematic in the women get emotional realm that she was so upset that she crashed her car?
I don't think that's necessarily... problematic,
because that at least is like it's not well, let's fake a suicide.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily have, well, and then, you know, she crashed her car and we'll just tell everybody she died.
Yeah,
so we're gonna stick
I wasn't saying she crashed her, she actually crashed her car. I'm saying, okay, we say she was so upset she crashed her car.
Okay. Yeah,
and now you have to take my other sister to prom.
Yeah,
that she looks just like her.
yeah, that one we'd also have to work around. Leonardo would have to just be like, oh, hey, and also my sister's not dead. Here, go to prom together.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily problematic to do the, you know, quote-unquote hysterical female thing. Because it's not necessarily like, oh, she was, because she's a girl, she was so upset
right.
that she crashed her car. It's more like, you got this person so upset that they drove off in tears.
Yeah.
And ran off the road. Like, right. lost control of their car.
Yeah. Never saw the train coming.
Oh, that's...
There was nitro in the trunk.
I was thinking
she was killed.
And we're back.
The social media aspect really interests me.
Yeah.
I feel like IMing, like she gets hacked.
IMing, you're showing your age.
What do you mean? They log on to AOL Instant Messenger and she changes her iMessage to be like, I'm banging Baraccio. No, okay, so she gets hacked. Her Twitter gets hacked. Like Baraccio is like a computer science dude.
Yeah.
That could be something. And they cybersexed all over.
I mean, you wouldn't even have to do that much. I meant social media more in terms of like spreading the rumor.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Like somebody Snapchats, I guess probably not Snapchat because, well, maybe Snapchat. I mean, I know it's super temporary, as super temporary as anything on the internet is, but like they only need the video long enough for Claudio to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know how Snapchat works, so I don't know if you take a video of something and then I see it and send it to /tag Claudio. I don't know how Snapchat
I know you
works.
Can you can screenshot, but the person gets a message that you screenshotted. That's okay. that's the one tidbit I know about Snapchat.
Like I don't
Hi,
know how I don't
we're old.
Yeah, we are old. I refuse to get on Snapchat. It is just not a thing that I am interested in.
Yeah.
Again, I'm old. But like, there's got to be some way. I imagine Snapchat more than Instagram or something.
Right? Ooh, Vine.
Hi, we're old. Yeah, I don't. I mean, there's got to be a social media aspect of suddenly everyone in the like he didn't just break up with her, but suddenly everyone in the school knows because everybody's
right.
retweeting it.
Right.
I don't think that you could 10 Things I Hate About You It without adding social media in somehow.
Right.
And I think just constantly having, oh my God, Hero's such a slut, being retweeted or reblogged or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like there are like the let's get them, let's accidentally pretend to be overheard
yeah.
stuff could be like comment threads.
Yeah. I wonder if... Does high school Don John just want to fuck with people, or is he secretly in love with somebody? Claudio or Hero or something? Like, is there a reason he wants to break them up that's not just, hey, you know what would be funny?
Although, you know what would be funny is a very high school reason.
It is. It's probably best to stick to the source material as much as possible.
He's writing his college essay, and he's like, I have a great angle. How I ruined... high school for everyone but me. Let me into your college.
Yeah.
Much Ado About Nothing, : The Cruel Intentions prequel.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah. I'm trying to think how... I don't know that I would necessarily want a redemption for him per se, as much as I would want him to just be annoyed that... You know what? I would want his redemption, quote-unquote, to be that... He enjoyed watching his plan play out, but he doesn't really care that everything ends up fine in the end.
Yeah.
He's got other things that he cares more about. He would get into his really cool car/motorcycle. It's a car/motorcycle. It's like a wicked awesome ride.
Yeah.
He just like hops into/on that and drives off into the sunset with like a really hot girl.
Yeah.
There's his redemption.
There you go.
Is that enough redemption for you?
I guess.
I mean, he gets a car/motorcycle and a hot girl.
That's pretty good.
Or guy.
Yeah.
I don't care. Or
both.
There we go. He hops into his car/motorcycle with Conrad and Baraccio.
Yeah.
I did really like the gender flip of Conrad.
Yeah.
Especially when, well, this isn't even a gender flip thing, just as much as the way she delivered the line where it was something about, you know, hey, man.
Hey, man, speak.
Yeah,
yeah,
just the way she delivered it was great. I loved it. Yeah.
So Final thoughts on Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing. Much Ado About Something?
Much Ado About Something. I mean, it's worth watching. If you like Much Ado About Nothing, if you like modernized Shakespeare.
Yeah.
If this type of thing is your jam.
Yeah.
It's absolutely worth watching.
I agree. I think it's a good use of your time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like, if you've watched any Joss product with any regularity, there will be someone that you loved from that in this in a great role.
I don't know that I would necessarily watch it just because you're a Joss Whedon fan, though.
No.
Like, I wouldn't be like, ooh, a new Joss Whedon project. I have no interest in it, but I'll watch it because Joss Whedon. You will probably end up not enjoying it as much as you would if you actually have an appreciation for the source material.
But I was much more willing to be into this because it was Joss Whedon doing Much Ado.
Right.
Than if Joss Whedon had been doing something else like Midsommar's.
Right.
I don't want to see Joss Whedon do, like, drugging people to make them change their minds about stuff.
Yeah. God, Midsommar is problematic AF.
Yeah.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
I don't think I know how to use it wrong.
Yeah, you keep using it accidentally AF as wrong as you can. No, as not wrong. Sorry. I AF'd that up real bad.
You sure did.
But I guess, you know what I'm saying is, if you like Joss Whedon, this is a good Joss Whedon product as long as, like, you also like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Like, I think that don't get into this if you're expecting, like, it is Shakespeare. So, yeah. Like, you have to sort of understand the rhythm and, like, what they're saying and being able to sort of translate in your head sort of what's going on a little bit.
Right.
Because they didn't change. They only cut stuff. They didn't change stuff.
Right.
But I guess my final thought is this was a good execution of what I hoped Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing would be.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I still don't understand why the black and white, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, so social media.
Yep.
We have a Facebook group, which is called Unabashedly Obsessed with Unabashedly Obsessed.
Join it. Come play with us.
Yes. We play there. But yeah, I mean, like, we have fun there. We also have a Twitter, which is UFO Podcast, at UFO Podcast. You know how Twitter works.
Yeah.
You decide what the F stands for. This week, it stands for fooling everyone. Fooling around.
Fooling. It stands for fooling.
Fooling. In all sorts of ways.
Uh-huh.
Finger banging Conrad. Okay.
Oh,
so,
James.
James, we also
no.
are...
If you want more where that came from, you can follow James on Twitter, at UnabashedJames.
And if you don't want more where that came from...
Follow me, at UnabashedlyAaron.
Aaron almost never talks about finger banging.
Almost so, never.
we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/unabashedlyobsessed. We're currently at $55 out of 100 to our goal for me getting an Unabashedly Obsessed inspired tattoo. So
this is true.
We're more than halfway there if you want to push that along and put me in horrible and permanent pain.
It's not. It does not hurt that much.
Pain forever and always.
Oh, I don't have a phobia of needles, though.
I'm actually...
You've gotten a lot better.
Those, like, a tattoo needle doesn't... It seems more like a... You remember in the 90s? Old. the shaky pens?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what a tattoo needle looks like to me.
Yeah.
Only then it gives you a scab.
It feels like a needle.
Yeah.
More like, than those do. But
what
yeah.
bugs me about hypodermics is, like, look the at this huge yeah. needle.
Yeah, the tattoo needle, you don't even see the needly part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something. We also have a merch store.
We do. cafepress.com/unabashedlyobsessed.
It's a meme.
It sure is.
Come buy a shirt. Come buy a mug. Sticker. My mom has a sticker on her car. You should, too.
I have a magnet on my car.
Yeah, me too. My daughter saw my mom's sticker and was like, look, it's you and Miss Aaron. I was like, yep.
Yep. Yep.
So now you can have your daughter say, hey, it's Mr. James and Miss Aaron.
Yep.
It's a bit of a niche pitch, but I think it works.
Yeah, it sure does.
Hey, go on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating about how great we did.
Yeah.
Hey, tell a friend. I haven't been telling people to tell a friend about us.
Yeah, tell a friend about us.
Yeah.
New Matt is... doing the good work of telling friends.
Yes.
And coworkers and random people on the street.
Yes.
New Matt, we love you.
Great job, New Matt.
Great job.
All right. I think that's going to be it.
Yeah. Thank you to Jamie Shaheen, who played Dogberry in our high school production of Much Ado About Nothing. You can thank you to Jamie for our theme song. Did you guys know there was a ladder down here? You can find Jamie and his band, A Silent Few, on YouTube.
Some people have said that they're the Nathan Fillion of bands on YouTube.
And by some people, James means James.
I just said it
James
just now.
James just said it.
Thank you also to Emily Cardamus, who did our logo art, which I continue to love so much.
Same.
You can follow her on Twitter at CorruptedGem or on her Tumblr at artfulhypothesis.tumblr.com. Yep. Or you can listen to her podcast. It's called The Audio Armory. It's basically Sawbones, but for weapons.
Yep.
That is going to do it, everyone. I'm going to go home and edit a podcast.
I'm going to go to bed. Because it's after midnight.
After midnight, name a Blink-182 song. All right.
Okay.
This has been a wonderful episode of Unabashedly
Obsessed. I'm sure we have a more Shakespearean adjective. This has been a Shakespearean episode.
This has been the Shakespeareanest episode of Unabashedly Obsessed that we've done since we performed To Be or Not to Be.
That's true.
I'm James.
I'm Aaron.
Smoking kills.
And so do pennies.